thank you, worship team. What a blessed time to always come and worship together. It's a big day today. We have communion. It's Pastor Howard's first weekend leave. Joe and Jess are probably sitting on an airplane right now as they're supposed to fly out at 10 o'clock to Singapore. And of course, we have that huge event this afternoon as families and friends are gathering together to celebrate that the grandpa said that winter is going to be shortened this year. So we hope that everybody enjoys the festivities this afternoon. I know Groundhog Day is one of my favorite holidays of the year. I always take a day off of work just so I can celebrate and watch the groundhog. So. Thanks, Rob. Now, communion is it's always my favorite time of the month to be able to celebrate. Because nothing has impacted our lives more than what God has done through His one and only Son, what we celebrate this morning. So what we're going to do this morning is just go, we'll be going through some passages to prepare ourselves for communion. Just as the songs reflected this morning about who God is and all that He's done, and so will the scriptures that we read this morning. And so this is just a title, Looking Forward. Three times Jesus said in the last chapter of Revelation, yes, I am coming soon. And from the very beginning, God has always wanted His creation, people, to look forward. Not to live in the now moment or to live in the past, but to look to the future, to look forward. And He always was pointing that way. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You so much that we can come together this morning to worship You. Lord, as people that You have redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and through the power of Your resurrection. Lord, that You are transforming our lives even today and tomorrow. Throughout our time here on earth, You will continue Your work in our lives to make us more like You. Lord, I just want to pray for Joe and Jess, Lord, as they prepare to fly out to Singapore. Lord, we don't know what's on their hearts, the anxiety they might be feeling, the uncertainty, Lord. Whatever's in their hearts at this moment as they sit in that plane, ready to take off, we pray that Your Spirit would come upon them and give them peace within their hearts, Lord. Give them the ability to adapt into a different culture, to be able to learn the language quickly, Lord. That they would be used mightily in Japan, Singapore, wherever You place them, Lord, to further Your kingdom, to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, we pray for Pastor Howard and Lori as well as they begin their 4 months away, Lord. Lord, we pray that You'd be bringing back a renewal and refreshing in their spirits and in their lives, Lord. And Father, that they would be able to enjoy the time away, to renew, Lord, their marriage and their relationship, Lord. And Father, as You speak to them and draw them closer to one another and closer to You, Lord, they would come back to us, Lord, renewed, Lord, full of energy and Your Spirit upon them, Lord. Father, we ask now that You also come, Lord, and speak to us this morning, Lord, as we desire, Lord, to partake of these elements, Lord, as unworthy as we are, Lord, we know that because of Your blood we have been cleansed, Lord, and we are able to come and partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. So imagine yourself walking. Can you hit the next slide here, if you would, please? Imagine yourself standing there in the most beautiful garden. You know, I'm not one much for flowers and gardening, so unfortunately Martina has to buy her own flowers. I try to do the laundry instead. But imagine you're standing there in this field of beautiful flowers, garden, there's no weeds, everything's in line. The colors are so distinct. You're standing there marveling at it. And you see some trees with fruit. The fruit are perfect and ripe, and the leaves so defined. You see the veins running through the leaves. Everything with absolute clarity and beauty. You're standing there marveling at it. It's kind of like when I went to the optometrist and I got glasses for the first time. I didn't know that trees weren't bushes. I could actually see the leaves. And you stand there wondering, who put such beauty together? And all of a sudden, the gardener walks up to you. And he's just beaming and radiant, very kind and gentle. And he says to you, all of this is yours. I'm giving this to you, that you can tend this beautiful garden, these fruit trees. You see this river, this stream running through, it's absolutely clear. It's not fogged, it's not polluted. Everything is so beautiful. Such was the life of the first man and woman. But they knew nothing else. They had nothing to look forward to. They only had the present. They had no history to reflect back on. They had nothing. And the gardener said, just do not eat the fruit of this one tree. The rest of this is yours. Everything. Enjoy it. But unfortunately, as we know, they elected to fall into the trap of the serpent and eat of the forbidden fruit. All of this was theirs. Absolute beauty, but they had nothing else. But God, from that moment on, and actually from Genesis 1, has always wanted his creation to look forward, to see something beautiful. To be able to see that he desires to have this intimate relationship with us. A very powerful story. Can you imagine? I can't. Imagine what Adam and Eve must have felt like when they got kicked out of the garden. Can you imagine the regret and the shame that they must have experienced? They had all of this beauty, but they knew nothing else except for beauty and God's perfect love presence with them. And now they're kicked out of paradise. Now they're in a completely different world. The world begins to collapse and fall apart. They begin to have children, and now their oldest son murders the youngest son. It's a horrible story. To imagine what Adam and Eve must have experienced, to live with regret, the shame that caused the whole world to fall. Yet they had perfect beauty and love to experience. They didn't have anything to look forward to. So throughout the scriptures, God is allowing us to look forward, to move forward. There's always something better in front of us. God doesn't want us to live with shame and live with regret, or to live in the now or to live in the past. He desires for us to look forward. Throughout the Old Testament, he's pointing to something beautiful, the prophecy of Jesus coming and sacrificing himself. And Daniel even foretells even something further than that. You know, for half of my Christian life, I neglected the Old Testament. What a travesty. Because from the very beginning, God is pointing, helping us. He knows that life is full of struggles and difficulties. There's challenges. There's death, disease, famine, wars, rumors of wars. We all know that is happening today. Yet he wants us to look ahead to something beautiful, to not live with regret, to not live in the past. It's not easy to do. It's very difficult not to live with shame, failure, and regret. But God has gone out of his way to make sure that we don't live that way, that we can live rejoicing, as Paul said, to rejoice every day. Even with all of the turmoil in the world. Because if we allow the world and what's going on to affect more than the sacrifice, then what hope is there for the people around us? There isn't any.
blessed.
What I want to do this morning is to read some scriptures together. And coming here every Sunday, we are reminded of the reality and the truth of who God is and the magnitude of His love that cost Him His only Son. So what we want to do this morning is to read some scriptures together. And these will go through who Jesus is, what He sacrificed. And it's going to go full circle. Hey, you drop that down. Oh, that's okay up there. Just, yeah, I see it. But you know, I'm easily swayed. I'm easily upset and discouraged. I feel like sometimes I'm so easily falling into the traps and forget myself about who God is and everything that He's provided. And I begin to live in the now. And I reflect, woe is me. You know, my job is difficult. The same struggles for 27 years. You know, I open up, it doesn't matter which news site you open up. It's nothing positive. You know, Howard shared about the two youth that were killed in the accident last week, a couple weeks ago. Every day there's some horrific tragedy. But not for us. Those tragedies that are around us or happen in our lives, we rely on God's Spirit to continue to uplift us, to encourage us, to be reminded of who He is, that we don't walk alone, that we walk with Him, the one who created such a beautiful paradise at the beginning and awaits us at the end. So let's go ahead and read this together from Revelation. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom in Christ to serve His God and Father. A lot of people are afraid to read Revelation, but isn't Revelation really the key book describing and defining who Jesus is in such a powerful, mighty way? It's such an honorable letter and a vision that John received, and it tells us that the one who came and sacrificed His life that we could have life is and was and is to come. John is reminding us here that the one who freed us from our sins with His blood is going to come. There's hope ahead. You don't have to be concerned and consumed with the now. But He will come. And it doesn't matter. Since my Christian life of 29 years when I first became a Christian, a lot of pastors would say, well, He's coming in my lifetime. Well, some of those have come and gone. We don't know when. I would never say that He's coming in my lifetime because I have no idea. But I do know that He has given us a vision of Himself. Not just through the Scriptures, but when we come and we come before the Lord. He desires to consume us and present Himself to us in a magnificent way that we don't have to live with regret and shame as Adam and Eve. But that we can look to the future and know that He will come. And other parts of Scripture that He is preparing a place, a home for us on that day. We can't focus so much on the now and the past, but to look forward. Because Jesus said three times in Revelation 22 that He is coming soon. Next slide. Colossians 1:15-20. Such a powerful, powerful scripture. Probably one of the most powerful written in the New Testament by Paul. And imagine writing this, some of these letters in prison. You know, like in Philippians where he's telling people, rejoice. You know, my life is on the line. But he considered is life worth nothing compared to knowing Christ? It's a beautiful place to be. Maybe someday I'll be there. Let's take a look at this one. Let's go ahead and read this together. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have a supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Now, we're created for Him. The freedom to be able to embrace Him and to love Him with everything that we have. Yeah, we might think about, well, life is terrible. There's so many struggles. But look what He went through. He gave us the freedom to be able to come to Him, to experience Him in all of His greatness, in all of His majesty. Created for Him. We know in 1 John, John wrote that God is love. It's a perfect, unblemished love that we cannot give in our own selves. We can hardly experience it in this life. To be able to experience the unblemished love of God, we need to truly be still and to wait upon Him without the hindrance of the noise of the world around us. Really can't comprehend. We're created for Him. Yet because of that one fall, seemingly unfair to a lot of people, but isn't it unfair that God would have to send His one and only Son for people like us to shed His blood, to experience the horrific and brutal death of the flogging and being hung on a cross? That He was willing to do it. And because of it, He made peace with us through His blood. He created us for Him, and He paid the price that we could come back to Him. Unbelievable. I just don't understand how we can so easily fall astray when we look at scriptures like this. And we come and we worship God and everything that we have. We're reminded through Psalms and through the Scriptures, who He is, such a powerful, almighty God. You look in Isaiah after chapter 40, how many times does God say, I am the only God? That there is no other God beside me. There was none before me, nor shall there be any after me. I alone am He. I am the Savior. He makes sure that He knows that there is no other means. Just as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father. I am the resurrection and the life. Next slide. Another famous verse once again, as in Colossians, talking about who Jesus is. Let's read this one, nice short one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Once again, everything was made through Him. Through Christ, Jesus the Creator. Nothing was created without Him. And once again, for Him. Everything beautiful. Everything was made beautiful. In Genesis 1 and 2. It doesn't say that it was perfect. It said very good. But we know at the end, as we look forward, things will be perfect. Until then, it'll be a struggle. It'll challenge our faith. It'll challenge our relationships with one another. It'll challenge the church. Every aspect of life will be challenged. But the end result is Jesus said, yes, I am coming soon. We may be with him sooner than he comes to be with us in that sense. And he has made it so that we can walk victoriously. Remember what he said in John 14. He would send his spirit. He had to ascend so he could send the spirit back to be with us, to dwell within us, so that we could walk victorious. And that the spirit would continuously draw us back onto the narrow path, the path of righteousness. When we're in despair, we're frustrated, we're angry, we're ready to give up, there's no hope. The spirit will remind us once again of who he is. He may use brothers and sisters. He may use the word. He may use worship. Maybe a simple psalm. Maybe Psalm 24 that a brother and I read yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful passage. Next slide. John 3:16, of course. You've got to have this in here because this is a powerful, powerful verse that sometimes we hear. Maybe shown at that event this afternoon. I don't know if it was shown at Groundhog Day celebrations this morning. But you remember the guy with the colored hair when I was watching sports and stuff? You know, the guy with the colored rainbow wig always held up John 3:16. I don't know whatever happened to that guy. I don't know if he's still around doing that. Let's read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Once again, you see, we're looking forward. Eternal life. We have eternal life. There's something to look forward to. And we need to continuously read the scriptures to be able to see what eternal life is like. What are we looking forward to as we walk this challenging life? You know, I often lose sight when I get angry at work. You know, I punch the wall and scare the office ladies next door. Don't worry, that was only last summer. This summer will be different, man. I'm not going to get angry. Yeah, right? I'll talk to you in September. No, we have to be focused. We want other people to be able to see that don't have hope, right? There's a lot of people around us in despair, but they don't have any hope. There's not any reason to live. A lot of people suffering. You know, every week at the prayer meeting, we're praying for people who have cancer, a horrific disease. But if we get caught up in our own frustrations and our own anger, instead of being able to see such powerful and beautiful truths as what Jesus is saying here, then how can we help those people? People, instead of me punching the wall and scaring the ladies in the next room, why don't I listen to see maybe what their struggles are, what their challenges are? Instead of being consumed with my own frustrations. I'm the one that's supposed to be the light. I'm supposed to be sitting on the table, shining for others to see. We have the key as Christians. We hold the key to eternal life. We have to present it. We have to have love and compassion that God has upon us. So here we have read that Jesus is the Creator, and all things that were created for him, by him, through him, and that without him nothing was created. Next passage. Now we're getting to the meat of what we are celebrating, what we're remembering today. Remember the gardener that made something so beautiful. Only one command is all that Adam and Eve had, and they fell. They stepped out. They got kicked out of the garden, out of paradise, and probably lived with a lot of shame and regret as they watched one son kill another. And all of life to quickly deteriorate. Everything they had experienced in the garden with God's perfect, unblemished love, shining and radiant, all of a sudden, it turned to this. Let's read out of Mark 15, 12, and 20. What shall I do then
to the one you call the
King of the Jews?
Pilate asked them.
Crucify him,
they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder. Crucify him. On to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. There Jesus followed and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the Praetorium. And all together, the whole company of soldiers, they put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And then they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews. Again and again, they struck him on the head with the staff and stood on him. All on their knees, they paid him homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on his eyes. And then they led him out to crucify him.
Boy, it went from standing in the garden, walking with the only one and true God in absolute beauty, to experience love, to just one disobedient act God told him not to do. Now we see that the one who created all things, who created us for him, to be able to enjoy an intimate relationship. Yeah, how can we understand truly what God desires from us? We can, in our own human intellect, make up all sorts of things. But too often are we putting ourselves in the creator position and putting God in the creation. But at the same time, he has given us the mind of Christ. We have so much knowledge and wisdom and understanding beyond the physical intellect of mankind. And here we see that the God that created us now is being spit upon, flogged, and beaten. But the people that he desired to save are yelling to crucify him. They have no idea who he is. Yet throughout the Old Testament was prophesying that he would come, that he would give his life, that we could have life. There is no greater act of love than what God did. I couldn't do anything for my family that would supersede what Jesus is doing for all of mankind. The next slide. And of course, Isaiah 53, we read this a lot for Good Friday services and communion. And once again, this is just as the scriptures we've been reading. They're all so important that we can't take them for granted. If we read this throughout 50 years of our Christian faith, it's not enough. It's not enough when you sit there and you can grasp Jesus in all of his splendor and majesty. And now, once again, because of his love, God's love for us, his creation, he goes through this. Let's read this together. Surely he took up our pain or our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was on him, and his wounds are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted,
and he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I know during Good Friday, I always like to read what happened leading up to the crucifixion. And it's always a reminder. I think the one thing that is beyond understanding is what he went through brought us peace. He was silent, like a lamb to the slaughter. And what he experienced, what he went through, was to bring us peace. We have no reason to look back, live with regret and shame. We look forward. He has provided everything for us in this life to look ahead, to not be consumed with the now. But what about next? To look forward, this is in the past. Next slide. Revelation 5:12. Let's read this together. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain
to receive power and love and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise."
As many of you know, my favorite passages in all scriptures, Revelation 4 and 5. The vision of the throne room, where God in chapter 4 is seated upon the throne. You have the perfect rainbow, the color so distinct, more distinct than a new prescription. Everything is absolutely beautiful. You experience, as John is there, you experience the power and the authority of the Almighty God. There is no question about it. There is no doubt about it. As you read chapter 4, there is only one God. And we are blessed to be able to bow down and worship Him humbly with thanksgiving and a grateful heart. And then, of course, it moves into chapter 5. When the Ancient of Days is holding that scroll, and John is yearning to know what is in that scroll, but there is no one on heaven and the earth that is going to walk up to the Ancient of Days and take that scroll. Who would do that? And then we know that in chapter 5, it is the Lamb that was slain. He was able to go and take the scroll and to read it. And all of a sudden, all of heaven begins to turn their worship and adoration towards the Lamb. The one who sacrificed. The one who gave everything. The one who we are created by and for. And we are blessed to be able to experience this kind of relationship with the one and only true God. Today, we remember the one who was, the one who is, and the one to come, Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and given eternal life where there is no more pain, and no more suffering. Praise be to Him. Can we have the communion ushers come up, please?